This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
I'm Jacqueline Bolton, latterly of the Ormiston Children and Family Services, but now let loose on the unsuspecting public. I'm going to be talking to you about the subject, and this is what I'll cover in my 15 minutes. I'll try and make it a bit shorter so we don't overrun. I'm going to talk to you, it's hard in this slot to keep people's interest, but we're going to do theory and practice. We are in the Institute of Physics after all. Luckily I don't know much about physics, so I can't talk about that. But what I will cover is the theoretical aspects to improving access for all service users, but particularly for gypsies and travellers. So I'll talk about fair access, fair exit, diversity and inclusion, and then the practical side, which for me, as you'll have seen in my blurb, I had a 20-year career in sales and customer services, and I've got a marketing diploma, so very customer-focused background. I've had 50 years' experience of being a traveller and 8 years' experience of running services in a community setting for travellers. So I'll just tell you my spin on how I deliver services. And you can't cover much in 15 minutes, but I will try to do my best. So I will be telling you about the marketing mix, which is a standard approach that business and the commercial world uses to attract people to their services, and I've applied those principles in what the work that I've done with travellers. Excuse me, I've had a bit of allergy, so I'm a bit full of cold. Then I'll talk about sources of further help and a summary, and then we've got the question and answer panel at the end. So what do we mean about fair access, fair exit, diversity and inclusion? Well, these are the legislative angles that apply to all services, and those of you in local authorities will know that you have statutory duties to ensure equality of access for all groups to your services. And working for a charity, especially where we've got contracts with public authorities, that duty does transfer to the provider. So I had to learn a lot about the legislative frameworks that dictated how we offered our services. And the challenge for us at the time, 8 years ago, when I was working for a fairly small charity, was having the right policies and procedures in place. And we had to write them from scratch. And they were around the standard equality stuff about equal opportunities, equality in recruitment, and having procedures about how you advertise, the salaries you pay people, and how you advertise and promote your services as well as deliver them. So a few years ago, we were introduced to the weird and wonderful world of the Equality Impact Assessment. And I'd never done one before, and it seemed quite onerous at the time, but we did adopt this as standard practice. And it's just a methodology that some of you will be familiar with, but in the traveller world and the world of the third sector, we don't always look at. But it was a useful process to go through to think about what are the negative or neutral effects that your activities are having on the different groups of travellers. Because the services that we were offering, I had to make sure that we weren't negatively impacting on the different diversity strands within travellers. You know, God help you if you're a lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual traveller, you find, or disabled, or learning difficulties, you're going to find it even more hard to access our services. So we had to think about all those things. And then you have your resources, human and physical. For me, one of the key aspects to running an accessible service for travellers is having the right people in those services. And being a children's organisation at the time, we had legislation that said all our employees had to have MVQ level 3 qualifications, which did stop me recruiting a lot of travellers because they didn't have the relevant qualifications. But for me, the most important attributes, that travellers are very perceptive. They know if somebody has got an equal opportunities framework, rather than they'd rather have somebody with no qualifications with the right attitudes. And then to look at your physical premises, is it accessible? we took up tenancies, or we took up a tenancy in a Norfolk premises where the landlords were outraged when they found out that travellers were going to be coming into the offices because it was a highly prestigious location. And I can't tell you what I wanted to say because I was a traveller and on that basis I shouldn't have been allowed in there. But they wouldn't let us use the kitchen. So we bought some stainless steel cans and had water down in our offices and wouldn't use the kitchen. I can't do what I want to do because I'm on camera. But the other aspect is
how you... Turn the camera off, if you like.
Yeah, well, you can imagine what my response was. But it's surprising how your physical location can impact on your access, because some travellers, and we found this in our work with children's centres, that sometimes if your buildings are too posh, some people think that it's not a place they can go. They feel intimidated by the premises. And some children's centres that are in less prestigious centres have a better success rate in attracting the people who they want to come. And then the other aspect is like your processes. How do you handle your inquiries? How do you do your needs and risk assessments? How do you allocate cases? All of those things need policies and procedures attached to them to make sure that you're not inadvertently discriminating against certain groups. Really, we're talking about quality control, and I must say, having been funded by Supporting People, which I know Siobhan has been and some other services in this room who I spoke to earlier, the Supporting People regime was onerous when we first went into it, but actually as a system, a way of working, it was highly beneficial to go through because it's very process-driven and it does drive you towards offering a quality service. So it was a pain, but it was good in the end. So this is my take, this is my spin. It's a mindset, if you like, about how I've approached offering services to travellers. And in my view, the gypsy and the traveller is a customer. And I always think, would a traveller pay for this service? If it wasn't free, would they pay? Are we proud of this service? We should be. So when you're looking at the marketing mix, there's this thing called the four C's, which I can't remember who invented, but no doubt it was an American. And there's four aspects to service delivery that if you're launching a business or whatever, you think of. And they are consumer wants and needs, the cost to satisfy, convenience to buy, and communication. And when you're running a service or launching a new project, a widget, you've got a factory or your Tesco's or your whoever, they're the things that the marketeers look at. So they're the things that I look at when I'm launching a service and running a service for travellers. So consumer wants and needs. The traveller in this context is a consumer, they're a customer. And in the world of business, there's no such thing now as a mass market. In the 50s, there was mass markets, adverts on the tellies. Everybody wanted Omo or Lifebuoy because Lifebuoy was the only soap. Now, there's no such thing as a mass market. We're a multitude of individuals. So don't expect to have people, travellers, access the service that you're running for everybody. They're going to find, you'll find that they have different needs. So you need to study what travellers want and what they need, and then attract each family one by one with the what's in it for me factor. And I've worked with so many agencies who've helicoptered in with a service that they want the travellers to have, but they've never found out if the travellers want it or need it. Or, and then, oh, nobody's used it. What a shame. When you're a charity and you have to make grant-making trust applications, this is what they call evidence of need. But also, you have to involve the travellers in designing what the service is in the first place. Otherwise, they won't take it up. But the things that I can tell you are important to travellers is confidentiality and reliability, which are the same things that are important to anybody else. When we go to the doctor, you don't want them blabbing up the high street, what's wrong with you? And to be involved in what services are being provided to you. And we had steering groups and customer panels and traveller volunteers and involving the community, not doing things to them. And to quote from a film, build it and they will come. If your service is right for travellers, word will soon go round. We heard earlier on somebody saying travellers are hard to reach, and I think the Roma community may be hard to reach. In my experience, once they find out about you and you've got a good service, they're hard to get rid of because they will keep coming back. That is your promise. You're delivering a good service and they will come and they'll keep coming. They'll tell everybody about it. Moving on to the cost to satisfy. That's me with my winnings at the Derby there. That's my hands. £17 something. I won on the winner. But price, it's not the only factor. You might think, why is price important? Well, you're not charging a traveller for these services. But there's no such thing as a free service. The traveller has a cost in using your service, whether you charge them for it or not. They've got to get to your place, park, phone you up. They're losing money while they're there, or their husband is, or somebody else, or their wife, whoever is losing money while they're there. And they've also lost opportunities to do other things more interesting. I'm here, I'm not being paid today. I could have been out doing a bit of whatever. There's the emotional cost, you know, of using your service, that they're going to disclose things to you. That's going to be a cost to them. But then somebody is paying for the service. You've got the value for money for your funders. And increasingly, funders are awarding contracts, not grants, and they expect you to be providing a service that they think is a reasonable price. And increasingly, I've found funders want to pay you cost per outcome. How much did it cost you to get that young person into college, into school, off the side of the road, into healthcare? So, as I say, no such thing as a free service. So convenience to buy, that's me teaching a little lad how to make some paper flowers. Make it easy to use your service. It's surprising how many services are hard to use. Think about the location of your office and think about offering outreach and your phone access and helplines. So many services, oh, we've got a free phone, but a free phone isn't free from a mobile. And having rung up, like, I wish the DWP bloke was still here, because you can use up £20 worth of credit trying to ring up for a £50 thingy loan, crisis loan. So also think about your timings. Now, we ran services in evenings and weekends. I had a dedicated team and volunteers who were willing to come in at whatever time. And that was a good way of getting men and other family members who might be at work on the old 9-to-5 routine to use our services, especially when we were offering employability improvement. And having a male worker was a godsend. So the other thing is the staff choice. Try to have a mix of male and female gorgers and travellers. It's not true that only travellers can work with travellers. I've had a mix of people, and it's the attitude and outlook of the individual, not their ethnicity, that's important. And then also think about how convenient it is to get in your service from a referral point of view. I've had services that are supposed to be for travellers that have an 8-page online application form. You have to fill it all in before you can apply to use the service. Who's going to bother with that? All we have is a phone number. Ring in. We'll do the assessment over the phone, tell you about your waiting, where you are on the waiting list, tell you about the policy, and then assessments and support plans that are relevant for people who are not all that good at reading or writing. Well, to be honest, it's boring to sit and have an assessment, isn't it, for an hour and a half when you're being evicted tomorrow and somebody's asking you the ins and outs of everything. And then the other thing is having opportunities for the rest of the family to be occupied while you're delivering the certain service that you are. So if you're doing activities for children, what is there for the parents? If you're doing an activity for parents, how do you occupy the children? Thinking about the whole family. And then finally, communication, the fourth C. I couldn't resist this photograph. That Rottweiler is nearly as big as what I am now, but communication is give and take. It's not just one way. And so many organisations sort of just talk down and at travellers. It has to be a two-way process. And try to be creative with relevant images and few words. Because even if people are good scholars, they don't want to wade through loads and loads of written information. It's far easier to communicate verbally and more memorable. And just use phone numbers. A lot of our promotional material was just a photograph that a traveller would recognise as a traveller image with a big phone number on it. They'll remember who you are, and then frequently we would key our phone numbers into their mobiles so they didn't lose it. Because if you live in a trailer and you're being moved on all the time, you frequently mislay your address book, let's put it that way. So listen to your customers and adapt your service based on the feedback that you get from them. And remember that your brand is your promise. There's one of my colleagues over there from the Citizens Advice Bureau. The CAB's got a good brand, but it will be strengthened and based on the people in Peterborough will know him for his service. He does what he says he's going to do. And if you do that, you will have success. So there's some sources of further help for you. I think I can't stress enough the importance of engaging and talking to your local gypsies and travellers. There's also the organisation. I didn't know Emma was going to be here when I put this on, but Friends and Families of Travellers have got a website with lots of good information on and links to community groups. The Gypsy Council, there's also the Derbyshire group you're aware of. But the Supporting People Quality Assessment Framework is a good source for a structure for a good service. And lastly, myself, available for weddings, bar mitzvahs, etc. So thanks everybody for listening. I'll be on the panel for questions, but you can email me, ring me, whatever. Thank you so much for listening.